Peace be with you. Please be seated. We heard it just a few moments ago. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I'm making several assumptions in the sermon this morning, but in order to avoid the embarrassment that normally comes with making assumptions, I want to share them with you first. Number one, I assume that we all know the biblical words for peace, shalom and eirene, and therefore recognize that peace is a comprehensive biblical word encompassing many meanings. Secondly, I assume that we understand peace to be wholeness and wellness, the antithesis of wickedness, so that those of us who have come to faith know that we are at peace with God and with one another as a gift of God because of our forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, I assume that we understand that the actual bestowal of peace goes with the word of peace. In other words, in wishing one another peace, peace is given and received. And that's where my concern for the sermon this morning lies. How does it make you feel when you receive the word of peace? That's a very un-Lutheran question, I know it, but I stand by it. How does it make you feel when you receive the word of peace? Do you feel anything? Is there a personal relationship established with the speaker of that word of peace? Is there any kind of relationship established with the person with whom you have shared the word of peace? Let me say it a different way. What do you think about when you think of peace? Now, there, that's more Lutheran. Thinking about a subject rather than feeling it. But let's get back to the feeling. Do you feel healed? Do you feel saved? Do you feel joyful? Do you feel unburdened? Do you feel relieved? Do you know what it means to be unafraid, untroubled, at peace? I can say that I'm not sure I always do. In fact, I'm not so sure I can really explain when the preacher, quoting Philippians 4:7 in what was a rubric in TLH, says, "The peace of God which passes or surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus." I can't understand it, that is, until I begin to think of peace as a verb, an action that is intended to put us into action. That's why Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The truth is that while peace certainly is one of the fruits of the Spirit, it is also something toward which we must always be striving. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, says the apostle, writing to his son Timothy. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, he continues. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, correcting opponents with gentleness. Unfortunately, as we approach commencement this year, and in fact for several years, the apostle's description of the Lord's servant doesn't sound very much like the church in which we serve. We aren't always very gentle with one another. We do engage in foolish, sometimes ignorant controversies, and quarrels seem to be a part of our life together in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Indeed, even the congregations where many of you will soon be serving find themselves engaged in their own local quarrels and controversies. What's the problem? Well, it's sin. It's pride. And it's a bad habit. And to some extent, that's just the way we do things around here. But if we are to take the Savior's words seriously, those bad habits need to change. And that'll take some work. As many, if not all of you know, I'm a retired Air Force chaplain, having served 31 and a half years active in reserve. During my career, I remember that it was a very bold step requiring permission from the very highest levels of the Air Force when at some point in the 1980s, the Air Force chaplaincy took as its theme the words of Psalm 34:14b, "Seek peace and pursue it." Seek peace and pursue it? That just isn't what the military is all about. But that was only a prelude of what was to come. In the 1990s, the mission of the U.S. military began to change. Following the fall of the Berlin Wall, the U.S. military was called upon to become, in some cases, the world's policeman. Now, instead of fighting to win the war, they were called upon to win the peace. We weren't prepared for that, but it had to be done. See, winning a war requires shooting first and asking questions later. Winning the peace means that you wait until you're shot at, and then you still hold your fire. Winning the war requires a knockout punch, followed by cleanup and mop-up operations, while winning the peace requires establishing a relationship with people first, earning their trust, and overcoming opposition with the least possible violence. And so the military discovered the need to train some of our people also to win the peace, to retrain warriors to become peacemakers. Mostly it required a change of attitude and became a matter of how one looks at others. It required learning how to be more open to others, not an easy matter for warriors where guns and lethal actions are often involved. But do you get the picture? Do you see how it applies to us? Those of us who have been called to be the members and shepherds of the Savior's flock need some retraining in our day. We need to learn to listen, and we need to grow in faith. We need Christ's gift of peace, and we need it to work on us and through us. To Thomas and the other disciples behind locked doors, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Do not disbelieve, but believe." At his birth, the angels sang of peace. At his presentation, Simeon exclaimed, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Weeping over Jerusalem, Jesus said, "Would that you had known on this day the things that make for peace." St. Paul brings it home, writing to the Corinthians, when he says, "Finally, brothers, aim for restoration. Comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." To those of us who have difficulty with that word, St. James issues this word of warning. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, this is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Okay, so maybe peace isn't a verb, but it ought to be. When we are troubled and upset, we become immobilized and lose touch with others. But the word of peace changes all of that. It moves us forward. It puts us into relationship with one another. It comes to strengthen us. It fulfills the promise of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit teaches us all things and brings to our remembrance all that Christ has said to us, including his word of peace. And as the Spirit brings to our remembrance all that he has done for us, including the death that won his peace for us. As for the feelings, they don't make Christ's peace any more or less real. The gift is offered, the blessing is bestowed in the saying of the words. But when we feel that peace, we want to share that peace. We want to share it with the world, with those who don't yet know Jesus and need the unworldly peace of restoration to a life of faith. We want to share that peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we learn to deal with one another gently, seeing Christ in the other in front of us. It makes us alive, and it moves us forward. This morning, the Word comes to us in with and under the bread and wine of His supper. It comes to strengthen us. It comes to move us forward. It comes to put us into relationship. So let's prepare for it now by sharing the word of peace with one another, knowing that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.